Yes. Mr. Denno, as chair of the search committee, we have no doubt that you will help MSU select a collaborative president willing to advocate for change. Finally, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Denno, Ms. Pierce, in your tenures, you have all seemed to have exuded professionalism, calmness, and patience that many would be wise to learn from you all, in particular, Dr. Jack Burton and the rest of the MSU faculty senate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, James. We'll next hear from Mindy Arbaugh, followed by James Phelan, both appearing via Zoom. Mindy, can you hear us?
Good morning, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Spartans. It's a tiny bit surreal and a whole lot frustrating, as I'm sure some of you would agree, that the battle for Spartan Swim and Dive representatives are still here, more than 3 years after our program was cut. I plan to use my 3 minutes this morning to address, well, most of you sitting on that side of the table, to review the substantial progress our group has made, raising millions of dollars, securing swim consultants and pool experts, and collaborating with MSU officials to figure out how to use our funds and expertise and bring back the 99-year-old swim and dive program. But it's become clear of late that there is a leadership void on your side of the table. So I'm not going to waste my comments on those of you who hold your personal grudges and political hierarchy above the needs of the MSU community, who make empty promises in exchange for endorsements and temporary peace, all while circling the wagons around the Michigan State Old Guard to protect your positions in power. We are also chagrined, President Woodruff. Instead, I want to address the future of Michigan State. Our university's next president is likely tuned into this meeting, as are the individuals ready to run for the Board of Trustees. To quote a classic film about making hard choices for the greater good, future MSU leaders, you are our only hope. Needless to say, you have a lot to catch up on. The last decade here has been an example of how not to run a university. Yet beyond a series of horrible decisions, systemic obstruction, and blatant deception, there is a solid foundation here in East Lansing. In a quick scan of the Michigan State mission statement, you'll see words like solution, engagement, transform, and innovative, which actually appears twice in the mission statement. Our founders valued innovation because they understood that a truly outstanding university must continue to grow and improve, to solve problems instead of sweeping them aside, create opportunities instead of closing doors, face difficult situations instead of hiding behind lawyers. The foundation upon which our beloved school was built is strong. It has withstood many sins of the past and present, and I remain hopeful that you, future leaders, will break down the walls erected by your predecessors, let in the light, and rebuild Michigan State one value at a time. Solve these problems, transform student lives, engage with the innovators, and return MSU to the echelon of excellence from whence it was born. It's a daunting challenge, no doubt, but there's a saying here that has carried us through some pretty tough stuff. Spartans will. And we know you, the future leaders of MSU, will see the passionate promise on our side of the table and will work with us to rebuild and re-engage the many who have turned away from Michigan State because of your predecessors' actions and inaction. You, future leaders, have our resources, our partnership, and our support. And together, we can resurrect not only a varsity program, but an entire university. Go Grid!
Thank you very much, Mindy. We'll next hear from James Phelan, followed by Soba Saeed. James, can you hear us?
Yes, good morning. I can hear you.
Fantastic. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Jim Phelan. I'm the parent of an alum, a former swimmer. She'd been at MSU only two months when Mr. Beekman cut the program. She graduated last May. That's how long we've been at this. You might think that her graduation would end my participation in the effort to reinstate the Spartan Swim and Dive. I addressed this group about a year and a half ago, explaining how I was taken with the notion of Spartans Will, which I first heard during a tour for prospective students. Professor Woodruff, you recently emailed us a new MSU ad that featured Spartans who are making a difference in the lives of others. I'm here this morning to let you know that you've just heard from Spartans who are making a difference in the lives of others. Your alums, those who spoke before me, have worked tirelessly for the last 3 years to reinstate the varsity swim and dive team that was so important to them because they know varsity swim and dive is so important to so many. You can find these alums on a video call most Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. a schedule they've kept for the past 3 years. As you've heard from your own alums, our experience with President Woodruff does not reflect the cooperative collaboration that is a supposed hallmark of Spartan's will. We were an unreasonable fundraising goal and a tight deadline. President Woodruff describes this process in an email to us as the collaborative manner in which we work together toward the goal of restoring the swim and dive program, but sadly, her words do not make it so. I'm here this morning, as I've been at every board meeting since Mr. Beekman's decision, either in person or watching on Zoom, to let you all know that we'll keep working toward the goal of reinstating varsity swim and dive. You need to know who you're dealing with. Swimmers now are swimming back and forth, staring at a line at the bottom of a pool in pursuit of small time improvements over a season. Swim parents take their kids to practice before dawn and sit through 3 hour swim meets to watch an event lasting less than a minute. In short, we're committed, we're patient, and we know that goals are achieved through persistent effort over the long haul. I was excited to learn earlier this week that the search for a new president is entering the final stages. We look forward to working with that person as we continue on our effort. Before concluding, I would be remiss in not addressing the bravery of the sister survivors who continue to address this board. Please listen to them. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Much appreciated. We'll next hear from Soba Saeed, followed by Shahed Altai. Saba, are you here with us? Soba, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Before I get started with introducing myself or anything like that, I would like to comment on what I witnessed here today and what I observed. And it actually baffles me. I came here to speak about how my community is lacking equity, but I noticed that basically every single minority group on campus is lacking that same equity. We don't want another letter sent by your assistant saying we're working on it. No more conversations. Conversations are just meant to stall. Actions always speak louder than words. And thank you. And from what I'm seeing today is MSU yet again trying to find a scapegoat to hide from all the things going on in the media addressing them. And what I've seen from what students spoke is that they are telling you that a person on this board is the only person that's ever stood up for them, that's ever fought for them, and that's ever called out the lack of equity that they are facing, and they are the only one that is being under heat right now. I do not know anything that is going on, but based on what people said here today and what I am hearing, that is the conclusion that I came to. Because I hear what my fellow students say. I listen to their concerns, unlike many of you here. Again, lack of equity does not go for students. Actually, it is on the Board of Trustees, holding different members to different standards. That is something. Also, you do not get to decide whether those documents are released or not. They are not about you. They are about people here who came to talk about their trauma year and year again. How long are you going to deny them that? What are you hiding? If there is a reason, say it. Don't just say you cannot. Don't vote against it. Let the students vote against it if you care about our voices and if you're encouraging us to have that conversation. Again, my time is almost up, but I will continue because I didn't even get to comment on what I have to say because of how messed up things are and how badly you've done as a job to carry this university. I'm extremely disappointed. I am not proud to be a Spartan. I am not proud to go to the school, and if I could, I would not. Again, I am addressing my concerns now because my name is Saba Saad. I'm a Palestinian, and I said Palestinian, and I condemn Hamas, as we said over and over and over and over again. Gaza is facing a genocide. We are all watching a genocide. And by the way, if you want to argue genocide with me, the definition is the deliberate killing of a large number of people from a particular nation or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group. That is a genocide. Whether you agree politically, not politically, religiously, That does not matter when you are seeing children dying. Children bombed. Children knowing when they're asked and interviewed, what are your dreams to be when you're older? They say, kids in Gaza don't get to grow up. Shame on you. And shame on you, President, for coming to our vigil that was in honor of a six-year-old boy that was stabbed 26 times. 26. Six-year-old as he went to give his landlord a hug. And you stayed for 5 minutes. You didn't send an email. And actually, let me hold you. Actually, my favorite thing to do is I'll use it. In the email, in the statement that the university released about Israel and Hamas, you did not first say Palestine. You did not differentiate the Palestinian struggle from the ongoing, well, not the ongoing, from what Hamas and the Israeli government are facing. That is not what we're here to do. You didn't differentiate. You grouped your Palestinian student, which consists of Muslims, Christians, and Jews, into a category under Hamas that has opened us to a widespread of Islamophobia to those who are not even Muslim. It took us 9 hours to pass a bill advocating for resources addressing anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, while still recognizing the Palestinian struggle and being respectful towards those of the Jewish community, even those Israeli citizens. Because critiquing a government and a military force is nothing wrong, and we've done it for year after year. And shame on you for not addressing it and leaving it up to your OOTP to be there for 9 hours listening to gruesome details about violence, rape, murder, all of that. They are getting the backlash. They're the ones receiving the threats. And it's because you couldn't stand up and say something. You do not acknowledge Palestinian citizens. In the statement that was released by the university, it actually condemns all violence and innocence of killing of the killing of innocent people. But that was only meant for the October 7th attack, and you did mention people in Gaza, yes? No.
I want to conclude your remarks because we are running quite a bit over the three minutes. So I'm just asking if you could conclude your remarks.
I'm almost
please.
Done.
Please. Thank you.
In the statement, you condemn the killing of all innocents. Innocent people are still being killed. Why are you not addressing that? Why are you not addressing that? Because to me, as I'm reading this and I've seen your actions, I see that you only condemned the innocent of all civilian loss when it was Israelis. That tells me how you see us as in the university as Palestinians. You do not even get to say, you don't say the word Palestinian. You never sent us an email of condolences, never showed up to anything. Never having even an assistant or a fake letter of condolences being like, how is your community doing? It is not up to our students to advocate, study, do our work, get jobs and all that. You have to do some part too, I mean, as president and all. You do. And this is not only affecting us mentally as we are talking and looking at the news. It's affecting our academic journey. I have missed classes, exams, to meetings, to explain to people, to give them the resources that you lack to give. And sorry, one last sentence and I'll be done.
One sentence and then we'll
I swear, okay. I'll be done.
Thank you.
The resources that you lack to give, you have to do better because this is affecting our academic journey. And based on what happens here, I am assuming the university will be going under some type of investigation or something of that sort. And you do not want the academic journey to be involved in that because I know that could affect the university status on giving credentials and the university status as well. Thank you.
Here from Shahed Altai, followed by Yusuf Abbas. Shahed, good morning.
Shahad can't be here today. My name's Elisa. I'll be speaking on her behalf, and I just want to preface this by saying this is just coming from me as a student and not in association with any other jobs or positions I might hold.
Are you, do you have a statement from Shahad? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a statement from that individual?
Yes, it is.
Please proceed. Please keep within 3 minutes.
Okay. I would like to have some of my time back, though, for answering those questions. As an Arab... Okay, as an Arab and Muslim woman, I just want to say I am so tired.
My community and I are so tired. We keep seeing our people getting bombed and murdered abroad. There is an ongoing genocide against our community, and no one has even tried to make sure that we feel safe. No one's tried to make sure that we feel comfortable or like we belong. We've been the ones reaching out. We've been the ones to take the first step that administration should have taken years ago. The Palestinian genocide is not new. The ongoing apartheid is not new. The erasure of Arab students on this campus is not new. We have gotten death threats. We've been stalked. We've had our jobs threatened. We've been called terrorists. All this, not just by other students, but by faculty, staff, parents, and alumni. There is no other way to describe this besides racist, Islamophobic, and xenophobic. I ask you, why must we put our own grief and pain aside in order to beg for humanity? Why must we constantly have to beg others to recognize our personhood and rights to exist? We're disappointed in this university. We have no confidence that this university has our best interests in mind. We stand with every single person here on this campus and around the world fighting for justice. So we will not be silent, not now or ever, even when the university puts us down. We were horrified by the image of Hitler that was put up at the last game. It was shameful, and the university should be held accountable. And we all unequivocally condemn the disgusting situation and any other hate our Jewish peers are experiencing. There is no intention to diminish anyone else's thoughts, feelings, and histories, but this needs to be reciprocated. The university needs to be held accountable when the rhetoric it uses erases Palestinian memory, history, and struggle. Why did the university fail to use the word Palestine in its original statement? Why did members of the administration present here use the phrase, light must push out darkness? Many of us found that line in all its shortness reminiscent of a now-deleted tweet by the Prime Minister of Israel that states, this is a struggle between the children of light and the children of darkness, between humanity and the law of the jungle. I ask all of you, am I the child of darkness? Are we the children of darkness? Are we these animals of the jungle? And are we the ones that are getting pushed out to make room for the light? Because if that's the goal, trust us, it's been achieved, and we are not proud to be Spartans. We are not proud that no one is speaking for our issues, not even anyone today besides the members of our own community, because these ongoing struggles are not new. We deserve protection, too. We deserve to be acknowledged and to be treated with respect, and the university must act on all the issues brought forth today and the ones that will continue to come forth. The university must acknowledge the existence of Arab students on campus rather than erasing our identities by calling us white. Our struggles are real, we're here, and we're not going anywhere. Do your job, especially those of you on the board that identify as Arab. God forbid one of your students get murdered in a hate crime or kills themselves due to harassment and bullying. It's happened around the country and on college campuses. Even my own sister's school has been on lockdown because of the threats they've gotten for standing with Palestine. We must act now, taking action to prevent further words and acts of hate on our campus rather than following the MSU trend of reacting after travesty hits. This board, administration, and the university's plethora of failures are more than disappointing, but at the same time, never surprising. Do your jobs, resign, and we are not proud to be Spartans. Please do your jobs. That's it. Thank you.
Our next speaker will be Yusuf Abbas. Yusuf, are you here?
Yes.
Good morning. Hello, members of the Board of Trustees. First, I would like to say the terrorist attack of October 7th and the following war has seen innocent people endure horrific acts of violence. I wish to condemn violence as a means of conflict. As a student of Palestinian descent, I believe this conflict can be resolved with open dialogue between Israelis and Palestinians. I believe that a lasting peace that seeks justice, understanding, and security is possible. However, I am concerned that this open dialogue will not be seen given events over the last few weeks. In Europe, as well as multiple American states, voices of Palestinians and those who support Palestinians have seen an infringement of our civil liberties. People have been harassed, doxxed, and threatened for standing against injustice. People in my community have grown fearful that we are being silenced, and that speaking for Palestinians is to risk your career and your safety. Next, I would like to highlight the experience of my family, who are Arab citizens of Israel.
The government of Israel over the last few years has acted in a more authoritarian, anti-democratic manner, impacting Palestinians and Israelis. The current government of Israel features not one Arab cabinet member in a country that has 21% Arab population. Cabinet ministers such as Bezalel Smotrich and Itamar Ben-Gvir are known even in Israel for their racist views towards Palestinians. Laws such as the Nation State and Admission Committee bills have only reinforced the decades of discrimination and systemic inequality the Arabs face in Israel. The Nation State law was passed by the government, a law that has been used to enforce a separation of people. Quoting a newspaper from Israel, the Times of Israel, a judge presiding over a lawsuit challenging the law said, "The development of Jewish settlement is therefore a national value, one anchored in a basic law. It ought to be an appropriate and dominant consideration in the array of municipal considerations, including for the issue of establishing schools and funding transportation." All of this demonstrates a simple fact of life for Palestinians in Israel. Arabs are essentially second-class citizens in their own native homeland, discriminated against in a manner that is reminiscent of the Jim Crow era. I implore this university to act. Take a stance to protect and recognize the rights of its Palestinian students. I also urge this university to acknowledge the plight of the Palestinian people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yusuf. We will, as I stated earlier, go back just to see if there are other speakers who have since arrived. So I will quickly do this. And I will do it in order, so thank you. Dr. Christy Poitra, Nathan Fettis, Candace Montgomery, Javon Simmons, and Enid Warren Moore. So thank you. Thank you. And please could you state your name for that?
Good morning. My name is Tracy D. Jefferson, and I'm speaking in place of Enid Warren Moore. Good morning, Chairperson Vassar, Michigan State University Board of Trustees, and the audience here this morning. Thank you for allowing me to address the board this morning as not only a concerned constituent, but as a concerned sister, friend, and soror and supporter of Chairperson Dr. Rima Vassar. Before I begin, I'd like to make it clear that I am a Bronco, but I stand here in support of the Spartans. I stand in support of what is right, what is just, what is good, and so does Dr. Rima Vassar. I was disturbed after reading the article published on October 22nd where another trustee, also one of our sorority sisters, is calling for the removal of Chairperson Vassar. The article accused Dr. Vassar of bullying and plotting. I have personally known Dr. Vassar for almost 30 years. Bullying and plotting has never been two words to describe her. Dr. Vassar is honest, giving, caring. She puts others before herself at all times. She is a true public servant. She is not a bully. She holds others accountable and asks the hard, necessary questions and demands answers. She doesn't plot. She gets things done. I ask that Dr. Vassar has the opportunity to address the allegations made against her and to clear up any misunderstandings. I also ask the board to vote against any actions for the removal of Dr. Vassar from her seat. MSU needs Dr. Vassar. We need Dr. Vassar. I support Dr. Vassar. I ask that you all support her as well. Instead of wasting energy attacking her, attack and address the real issues. Also, please be clear. My support for Dr. Vassar does not negate the support for the sister survivors. Dr. Vassar supports the victims as well. Keep her in the seat. Let her do the job she was voted in to do and the job she can and will do. Clearly, this is bigger than Dr. Vassar and sounds like a diversion. After hearing the support of the speakers today, does it sound like Dr. Vassar is a bully? No, it does not. Address the real issues. Leave her alone and let her do her job. Thank you.
Interim President Woodruff, that concludes this morning's public participation on items not germane to the agenda.
We're not done.
We are we are done with speakers that have signed up in terms of this morning's meeting.
Stop silencing.
Do you have a statement on behalf of Jayvon?
He did not give me a prepared statement, but we did speak.
I would rather that we sort of conclude with public participation at this stage. I do appreciate sort of a good start. Thank you.
Well, I did say public participation.
Go ahead, please. I appreciate the vote. Please proceed with brief.
Thank you. It certainly, it's not my intent to cause that. I am not going to really get into the issues that have been discussed, but I want to share a perspective. I'm not Jayvon Simmons. I'm Lucius Vassar. I'm a two-time graduate of Michigan State University. I have a daughter who is a student, and I have a daughter in love who is a graduate. I'm here because I want you all to recognize the pain that you're hearing and to give you some context. Our children that have been here at this university are experiencing the same things that I experienced when I got here in 1987. They're the same things that led to a number of my friends to this day to come and occupy this building until their voices were heard. I encourage all of us to really work to try and address those issues. Clearly, you know that I am supporting unequivocally your board chair, but I also support your interim president. I also support many of you, as I have in your previous careers and in your roles here. But I support you in doing the work that really benefits the members of this community. When Dr. Rima wanted to take this opportunity to serve, for those of you that know my background, I've worked in this space. It's not new to me. I've worked in the state legislature. I've worked in local government. I've worked as a lobbyist at the state and federal level. And I honestly didn't want her to do it because I know the ugly side of it. And it's her love for students that is genuine that you're hearing here. It was not something that had to be manufactured or orchestrated because she has spent time with them before now and shared with them, as have I, because I saw what black students were experiencing here and it looked too familiar and my children were experiencing it. So please, if we can just take a moment to take a breath, to really think about how we can really and truly serve this university. Finally, love has been talked about a lot. In a lot of the comments relative to the issues of today, people have said that they've been motivated by their love for the university. Love is a verb. It's action. It's what you do. It's what you don't do. It's my love that brings me here. It's Dr. Rima's love that brings her here and has led her to tears as she has tried to serve this university. And my love for her gives her unequivocal support. I need you to know publicly in this setting that I have your back. I always will. Keep doing what you're doing.
Chairperson Vassar will now present the liaison report.
Hold on. Can I make a motion? I know this is out of order. Can I make a motion?
Yes. You can.
Please do not disrupt the meeting. Let's try and kind of continue. Interim President Woodruff, please continue with the agenda.
I now call for Chairperson Rima Vassar to present the liaison reports, the chairperson's report, and trustee comments.
The chair can recognize people who want to make a motion according to Robert's rules.
Trustee Deno, if you would like, their bylaws do not preclude you from making a motion. If you would like to make a motion, I would like for you to be heard.
You cannot add a motion according to the board's bylaws from the floor like this. So please proceed with the report.
Robert's rules do not preclude that.
I'd like to make a motion to release the Nassar documents. I was wondering if there's two other trustees who support.
All right, I'm going to make a comment with regard to the motion. First of all, I've recused myself from the previous action of the board. And as the one trustee on this board that worked with Rachel Sanhollander for over 8 months to reach an agreement with the university and the survivors to hopefully bring this matter to a conclusion and support it with Rachel, that conclusion, which I still believe in. And if there is a motion brought properly in front of this board to bring to that conclusion, including the documents, I'll support it. But this isn't the way you govern anything. And to bring a motion, whether it's at the last minute or at any time, I'm open to a special meeting. We don't have to wait till January or December or whenever else. But let's do it per our bylaws, and let's not ambush board members. Let's do it per our bylaws. My support of what Rachel Denhollander and I agreed to 6 years ago has not changed. That's it.
We'll wait for your special meeting after this one. Yeah. We got time. We got all day.
Please proceed with the liaison report at this stage would be appropriate. Thank you.
The motion on the floor is...
There is no valid motion on the floor.
The motion has been supported.
Dr. Rima, I appreciate that, Chair Bassett. We should proceed with the liaison.
Let him be heard.
At this point, Trustee Deno, I apologize for not being able to honor your wish for transparency in this moment. I am not the parliamentarian, so I cannot run the meeting. I just can read my next line, so I apologize.
You never have anything to apologize to me for.
Next is the public participation liaison's report, chairpersons, and comments. So we have the student liaison, all of your reports.
Hi, everyone. For those of you who have not had the privilege of meeting yet, my name is Emily Hoyampa, and I'm the ASMSU and MSU undergraduate student body president. It's been a hot minute since I spoke in this space, and it is the understatement of the century that a lot has happened since the September board meeting. Can't believe I'm going first with this also after everything that's just happened. ASMSU is grateful for the work we have started with many MSU administrators. First, we've been working with VP Lynch on campus safety and ensuring Alex, Ariel, and Brian are remembered in justice and healing, and nothing like February 13th happens again on this campus or anywhere else. Next, ASMSU has also been collaborating alongside Dr. Travis and CAPS on student mental health and pushing those resources out to more Spartans. Even further, we've enjoyed building a partnership with VP Ruglis to work on Title IX, RVSM, OCR reporting, and hate speech, because let's be real, it needs some work. And last but certainly not least, ASMSU has been meeting with Interim President Provost Yatsko and Interim President Woodruff for student concerns in and outside the classroom. This does not include everyone, so long story short, ASMSU has been busy. We love the work that we do, and we want to continue this work for all Spartans, please emphasize the all, and we'll continue to do so alongside the Faculty Senate, Council of Graduate Students, CORS and COPS, which is the Council of Racial and Ethnic Students, and Council of Progressive Students, and all others. But first and foremost, we want to see the Board of Trustees simply care. To start, as many of us here love this university, it is hard to even admit that we're Spartans. Students, faculty, staff, alumni, and many others should not be ashamed to be a Spartan, but rather be proud of it. So, you may be wondering, why aren't people, myself included right now, not proud to be a Spartan. So let me give you a few reasons why. For one, it feels as if the school is always in a new scandal. If I'm being so honest, MSU being on national news every other week is not new to my past 3 years here. I'd list every scandal since my first year, but it's not even worth it because there's always something new, and it is quite exhausting to keep up with. If you want Spartans to be proud of this school, we have to address the history and move forward rather than continue to hide from it. This starts with releasing the Nassar documents. To be frank, withholding these documents shows a lack of genuine care for survivors, opposing the principles MSU supposedly stands for. The fact that these survivors have been calling for the release of these documents and have been greeted by silence from MSU and the board is simply proving the narrative that has been talked about in public comment time and time again, that the board and this university do not listen to survivors or do not listen to people on this campus unless it actually benefits them. If MSU and the board claim they're going to learn and do better, I implore you to please take action now. Release the documents and give the survivors on this campus a tool to help with their healing journey. Another reason why students aren't proud to be Spartans is simply because of the support they're receiving. Sent out this morning, MSU's values are inclusivity, safety, and belonging. Yet, a blanket statement does not do the job because there does not seem to be any action to actually uphold these values. The lack of acknowledgement of problems and not wanting to get to know the students on this campus, especially the ones that are struggling, especially the ones that are already marginalized in a predominantly white institution, show that these values are not being upheld by the board and this university as a whole. Students of all backgrounds should not be coming to me saying that they don't feel safe, represented, or belong at MSU, and quite frankly, this rhetoric starts with how the board approaches problems. The board in this university cannot simply be acknowledging one side over the other. Everyone at this university needs to approach problems and concerns with an equitable lens and solution rather than thinking they already know what is best for them. Even with that, when problems are acknowledged, no one is actually stating the lack of equity and safety that is already present here. So once again, do better, be better, and please simply make an effort to listen and take action rather than pawning it off onto students to handle it themselves. To the board and whoever else is listening, please actually listen to student leaders and those who are public commenting today. With everything going on, people seem to forget that many people here, the students on this campus, especially the ones that public commented today, are actually students first. We came here to get a good degree, not to be trained in crisis management. I can only bring up so many issues and concerns, and with that, a lot of the issues I brought up are simply because my fellow Spartans do not have the representation here to do so. We have and will continue to ask for a student vote, and we also continue to push for a Corps and COPS liaison seat to the board, because if you're not doing your jobs and representing us, who will? And last but not least, regarding the conflict on the board, some of the best advice I've ever received when I got into this role is you cannot take care of yourself or someone else or a place, or in this case, a university, if you cannot take care of yourself. This holds true to the board. The reasons why students continue to be so disheartened with this school is because the problems are seeping down to life on campus. Specifically, the problems of this board should not be harming the university. People should be worrying about making sure they graduate and actually enjoying their college experience and not making a joke and dealing with every scandal that this school seems to be throwing at us every other day. So, before you try and fix everything on campus and actually do your job, make an effort to fix your own problems, please. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. In case you don't know me, my name is Maddie Dallas, and I'm currently serving as the at-large student liaison. I just wanted to start off by saying I appreciate you giving me the platform to not only bring up issues that are impacting students, but also the chance to speak up for the well-being and sake of the student body who might not have a chance to have their voice heard. I think it is safe to say that this past month has been an incredibly chaotic one filled with many different issues both within and outside of Michigan State. Due to this, I wanted to focus my report on student support during these times, which is something that you will see to be a reoccurring message throughout the rest of the liaisons. While student support is a relatively broad topic, I wanted to break it into two main categories, communication and assistance. As we're seeing a complex international issue impact the world, I wanted to stress the point that communication is key. This starts off with clarifying when and what the board should or shouldn't be speaking out on. The board has a very legitimate and large presence on campus, so ensuring that there is some form of clarity on what would be an issue that would prompt a statement is something that would be beneficial to all students. There needs to be an active understanding that what you do and what you say both publicly as the board and personally sets a tone on campus. Not everything needs a comment. Sometimes it's just about the support that happens internally. Going off of this, when addressing issues that might emotionally or personally be affecting different marginalized communities on campus, the focus should be more on facilitating positive and collaborative communication, along with providing more information and education, rather than just issuing vague and overarching statements that really seem to have no true care behind them. Knowledge is power, and the student body as a whole will only continue to fracture if misinformation and the lack of internal support continues to spread. I have personally seen the distress that can come from putting students into positions in which they might not be fully equipped or fully educated on to deal with, which leads into my second point under student support assistance. We come to Michigan State to be students. This doesn't mean that we don't also want to be leaders or aren't capable to step up in these ways, but we are students first. We are still learning and growing, much like everyone else in this room, but the advantage that you all have is that you have more experience and knowledge that has gotten you into the roles that you hold today. Michigan State is a diverse university, and because of that, we need to ensure that all communities are getting a voice and feeling as though they are being supported by administration. Student leaders are having to put out much bigger fires than the ones that might pertain to their specific job titles due to larger issues going on within the university and the world. I have seen and heard from many different students across campus in these past few weeks that they've fallen behind in school, felt as though they've been completely overwhelmed, or just having trouble managing all of their responsibilities. This should not be the case. There are many things that can be done to help bridge the gap between the board, administration, faculty, and students that could positively help student leadership in the present but also in the future. I think it would be a step in the right direction to create some sort of leadership initiative for the board members, university officials, and faculty members to create a strong relationship between different student leaders across campus. They would become a support for the student when they need a soundboard or just someone to step in when things get to an extreme, as we've seen happen recently, because at no point in time should students ever have to feel as though a position in which they have willingly and happily stepped into is taking a toll on their mental health. This initiative would also help facilitate positive collaboration and open conversations in a more conducive environment to students, as well as even help students look into the future by preparing them for life outside of college. I'm excited to continue to develop this idea with you all and continue to work to advocate for the success of the student body. Thank you.
I always feel bad when I have to use a microphone because I have to move it up and it's just going to get brought right back down as soon as I'm done here. But good morning, everyone. My name is Taylor Sutton, and I serve as the president of the Residence Halls Association. We represent over 15,000 students across our five neighborhoods here at MSU. To begin with, I'll start with the good news. Please report we're having a very strong year for engagement with our students. We've achieved quorum several weeks ago. Various pieces of legislation and projects, especially in our committees, are currently happening, and I hope to share more about those as the year continues. In addition, it's been a strong year for programming. Many of our events have already happened, and we have several coming up, especially related to stress relief events around finals and midterms, which I know that we are already in. I'm feeling the pressure myself with some of these papers, but we're getting there. In addition, we've been working on expanding our no-cost technology rental program to help support various RSOs and student orgs here on campus. One of the things I spoke about last time I was here was working on ways to directly collect and share student opinions on safety at this university. My team and I are working on finalizing a survey that will be going out here, I'm shooting for mid-November, in order to directly collect student voices related to certain aspects of campus safety and see what our students are prioritizing and things they need to feel safe here. We've also been working on several smaller projects to this aim already, working with Residence Education Housing Services as well as Department of Police and Public Safety, and expect to continue to work with them on many of these projects. In addition, we are working on organizing a series of town hall events that will be taking place around campus in our various neighborhoods over the next several months to provide another avenue to collect student voices. Between both of these, as well as other things we're working on, I want to collect as many student voices and directly raise them both to this board as well as other places within our university administration. On the note of safety, with the release of the after-action report from February 13th, I think safety continues to be a highlight in everyone's minds right now. I've taken the time to read through the report, and for many of you here, if you have not, I highly recommend that you do the same. For one, I would like to commend the university for already taking action towards many of the recommendations provided. I know, for one, I can attest that all of my classrooms have had the locks installed on the doors, which many students have expressed appreciation for. But I would like to reaffirm that there are more changes that need to come, and I hope to see them happen. And the Residence Halls Association is willing to continue to work alongside our campus partners to help make that happen and to help make students feel safe here. For those of you that know me, you know that I tend to keep things fairly lighthearted, but I feel the need to end on a slightly more serious note. For one, I would like to thank our Interim President Woodruff and Interim Provost Yaitsko and many others who have stepped up in interim roles in this university. However, given recent current events, as well as the approaching conclusion of the Presidential Search Committee, I feel the need to reaffirm that this university needs a strong, permanent leadership. We've heard about many of the upcoming projects at this university. We've heard talk about that MSU helping revolutionize the next generation of our education. If we want this to be successful, we require proper leadership in order for this to happen. Board members, please, as the Presidential Search Committee draws closer towards its conclusion and that deadline, and as various issues both within the board and externally continue to unfold around us, remember that we as students and as a broader university need you to make the right decisions for our success. I didn't initially have this in my notes, but I feel the need to add it. But as a survivor myself, I encourage the release of the Nassar documents. Thank you.
The microphone does not have to be lowered for me. Thank you, Board of Trustees, for doing all of this for free. I can't believe that you do it for free. And thank you to everyone that has worked with me personally, that being all of you, to create a better campus. I'm going to enumerate some of the ways in which we have worked together to create a better campus. The Council of Graduate Students is happy to announce that we have passed a resolution supporting the creation of a recreational and wellness center relief fund. Whether it is a scholarship or whatever is not yet clearly established. Our hope is that this fund will provide financial stability to graduate and professional students who are not currently exempted from paying the recreational and wellness center fee, which totals $340 a year, and which you heard about earlier today from the GEU. We are very excited to be working closely with the MSU administration to provide these funds to our students. The war in Gaza is one of several distressing situations.
Palestine.
Affecting the mental health and well-being of the graduate and professional student body. In response to this, COGS has agreed to work with Dr. Alexis Travis to help us incorporate trauma-informed practices into our organization's leadership. We believe that this partnership will benefit our community both now and in the future. Free Palestine. Regarding the conflict brewing within the Board of Trustees, our organization is diligently taking the time to review the evidence and develop an appropriate response with input from our constituents. However, my hope is that the Board of Trustees can resolve this conflict and function in a manner that is civil, constructive, inclusive, and transparent to all elements of the university. We need a board that can work together to solve problems and build trust with the MSU community. I just wanted to fly my peace flag real quick. Thank you.
It's only through collective action that our voices are heard. Thank you.
Beautiful students, thank you for your input and your leadership and your time. We will now hear the faculty liaison report.
Now.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jack Lipton. I am the chair of the Faculty Senate for Michigan State University. It's good to see you all again. I'm going to give you the report, the faculty liaison report of our faculty delegation for this month. So the faculty delegation appreciated the frank discussion we had with the trustees yesterday. We raised concerns regarding the ethical framework they have created for themselves and whether their oversight and self-policing are sufficient to ensure that they are meeting the absolute highest ethical and moral standards as the final governing authority at Michigan State University. As we mentioned to the board, many of us have concerns about choosing a president in the midst of the board chaos that we have observed here and in the media. We even discussed suspension of the presidential search. We advised the board, as we did 1 month ago, that drastic wholesale changes to their ethics and conflicts of interest policies are desperately needed. We shared the Faculty Senate resolution in advance of our vote last night. We warned that specific incidents and actions outlined in Trustee Scott's letter regarding Chair Vassar, which did occur, violate the criteria of MSU's accrediting body, the Higher Learning Commission, or as I will say in the future, HLC. You know, I respect Dr. Vassar's desire to do great things at this university. I know she wants to fight for students, but she can also occasionally not necessarily meet the high ethical standards that we expect from the chair of the board. Both things can be true. Her intent could be, excuse me, I'm speaking. Her intent can be true. The methods may call into question certain judgments. As a result, last night, Faculty Senate passed a resolution, voted 52-4, which stated, whereas Board of Trustees Chairperson Rima Vassar allegedly inappropriately interfered with matters delegated to the administration, appeared in an advertisement for the private wealth management firm Spartan Wealth Management, founded and managed by a former trustee, traveled on a donor's private jet, and dismissed suggestions that her conduct was not consistent with the university's standards, and whereas MSU was accredited through the Higher Learning Commission and must comply with its criteria for accreditation policy, which states in relevant part, 2C4, the governing board preserves its independence from undue influence on the part of donors, elected officials, ownership interests, or other external parties, and 2C5, the governing board delegates day-to-day management of the institution to the institution's administration and expects the institution's faculty to oversee academic matters. And whereas, in a statement, Chairperson Vassar acknowledged flying on a donor's private plane to sit courtside at an MSU basketball game and failed to address the allegation that she effectively endorsed an external party's wealth management firm by appearing in an advertisement in her capacity as chairperson. And whereas Chairperson Vassar's statement did not address the allegation that she, quote, without the knowledge or participation of the interim president, met, quote, with Lansing officials to pitch moving university colleges and students to a Lansing site. Therefore, be it resolved, Chairperson Rima Vassar's admitted and uncontested actions violate the standards of quality by which the Higher Learning Commission determines whether an institution merits accreditation, and as a consequence, the Faculty Senate calls on her to resign from the Board of Trustees. And be it further, not continue until complaints to the Higher Learning Commission are investigated by the administration and evidence is provided that we are again in compliance with HLC criteria. Resolved that if Chairperson Vassar does not resign as chair, the Faculty Senate calls on the Board of Trustees to remove her as chairperson and calls on the governor to begin the process of removing Chairperson Vassar from the Board of Trustees per MCL 168293. And be it further resolved that the Faculty Senate will file an official complaint with the Higher Learning Commission regarding Chairperson Vassar's actions and request that the HLC will provide the trustees with the professional development for which the Faculty Senate has previously called. We urge the board to have a wholesale reevaluation of their processes, priorities, and actions and bring us into compliance with the Higher Learning Commission criteria and make any ARC investigation into the findings public. I thank Trustee Scott for bringing these issues into the public sphere. Finally, I would like to read a statement from our Faculty Senate Chair Emeritus and Presidential Search Committee member, Dr. Karen Kelly Blake, Associate Professor in the Center of Bioethics and Social Justice, who is here with us today. In the back, these are her words. Good morning. Thank you, Trustee Scott, for your courage in exposing the continued deterioration of board functioning. You have depicted a pattern of behavior that reveals the board, as the governing body of Michigan State University, is in freefall. The no-confidence votes remain in force from all entities at this university. The Michigan State University Board of Trustees has continued to destabilize the university through its lack of transparency, failed leadership, continued gross overreach, and violation of its own code of ethics. The board's fiduciary duty is to put the school first above any personal interests, but its perpetual chaos and failures in leadership are actively endangering Michigan State University's accreditation and its efforts to attract exceptional candidates for the presidential search. Earlier this year, I had the wonderful opportunity to be the keynote speaker for the College of Human Medicine Student National Medical Association Cultural Celebration. The association supports underrepresented, minoritized medical students. In my keynote, I emphasized to students that they were unapologetically qualified to occupy the spaces at CHM and at this university. It is beyond me that, a few months later, I am in the unenviable position of having to tell the MSU Board of Trustees that you are, in fact, wholly unqualified to sit on this board. You are not qualified when you fail to learn from past behavior, when you dismiss learning and professional growth opportunities, and when you refuse to admit to mistakes and missteps. You're not qualified when you are afraid of litigation and you are subservient to the donor class. Not qualified when you disregard the harm you continue to perpetuate. Not qualified when you lack critical and thoughtful assessment of how one's actions produce consequences for a university community, lack long-term planning and strategic thinking, and lack principles and ethical behavior. Not qualified when you lack humility. To quote a dear friend and colleague, quote, principles are principles only if they hold when it is hard. If they do not hold when it is hard, then principles are hobbies. The board is not qualified when it fails to see its actions causing its own peril. The university community wanted a different relationship with this board. We hoped for improvements when the Faculty Senate called for professional development and board training, but improvements can only come with a new board. The state of Michigan Constitution gives the board unfettered control over university affairs. We overcome that problem by getting out the vote and engaging in activism to end election of boards for three universities in the state, as Michigan is the only state in the union to elect university boards. If one is unqualified for a job, then one should have the opportunity to improve and gain the needed qualifications. However, when one squanders that opportunity, as demonstrated here at MSU, then one must seek employment elsewhere. This community demands stability, and it is heartbreakingly clear that this board is uniquely unqualified to govern. Thank you.
Please refrain. Let's continue with the meeting.
Thank you, Dr. Lipton, for your remarks.
We call for decorum in the room. Call for decorum. Trustee Vassar.
Thank you, Jack Lipton. I appreciate your comments. I want to first read the prepared comments that I want to make sure I get to, and then I will talk about this week. Part of my life's work has been advancing access and inclusion for students of all backgrounds. I take special interest in this work at MSU, as evidenced today, and would like to highlight two new programs. First, I'd like to echo the excitement about MSU's position as one of the first institutions in the state to offer a tuition-free scholarship for qualifying in-state residents. This new program will redefine college access and affordability, and I look forward to seeing its impact as we prepare the next generation of citizens and leaders, innovators and creators, and so many others who will help strengthen our state, nation, and world. This is critical for minoritized youth in Michigan. We do know that black women are the most educated subpopulation in the United States, and they are also the ones saddled with the most debt-to-income ratio.
for paying back student loans to pay for that education. So I am really, really happy about this new program. Second, on a smaller scale but very important, is the CREATE microgrant program offered by MSU's College of Arts and Letters and facilitated by the Dean's Arts Advisory Council with support from the MSU Federal Credit Union, thank you, and departments across the university. This program offers students amazing opportunities to pursue creative endeavors. The board congratulates the 13 students awarded grants, and we look forward to seeing the results of their creative projects in poetry and painting, screenwriting and sculpture, and music composition. This week has been tough. We've been in a pressure cooker together. That's how I feel. I apologize to the 2.3 million people who voted for me and the students and faculty for the spectacle this board has subjected you to, and to some of the things that I probably could have handled differently. I value my relationships with my colleagues, and I genuinely hope that we can turn the page and work together for this institution. I have heard you over and over. We are committed, I would hope, to the same ideals: transparency, accountability, equity, and justice. I might be new to this world of cutthroat, ruthless politics. I'm an educator. One thing I know is that I must be doing something right if folks are coming this stridently for me. Unfortunately, I do not expect these attacks to stop. When I ran for this position, I promised accountability and transparency. I will continue to be transparent and accountable as questions and unfounded accusations continue to be lobbied at me. I do want to make one clarification. I have always been committed to transparency. Every investigation, and there's been several that this board has endeavored, I've participated fully with. I do not appreciate this idea that I'm not participating with this investigation, the ongoing Jones Day investigation. This idea that I have not committed to giving my phone is a lie. Wednesday, we were given a mandate around our phones. Thursday, we agreed to give our phones. All of this before is a lie. You can, I'm sure the FOIAs will come. You can FOIA the documents and see when the phone requests were made and what we decided to do. Please don't believe that I am a liar. I just don't do that. It's not worth it. This idea that I'm not transparent is a problem, particularly if you know my record. I don't engage in activities that are, I'm trying to make sure I'm careful so that I don't implicate anyone on this board. There have been times where I didn't agree with the board on certain things, like the certification of, with the administration on certain things, like the certification of OIE reports. I didn't participate. Until we got proper training, I just didn't participate. My idea of transparency and accountability is supporting and being accountable to survivors. Additionally, I'm looking forward to a review of my conduct, as I am not aware of any policy I have violated. Meanwhile, I call for the following actions. Because we do not have, ongoing professional development. This board has engaged in professional development in the past, but we do need training on onboarding. We need to be aligned with applicable Association of Governing Boards of Universities and Colleges and their recommendations for governance. I'm committed to continue that development. Secondly, because we do not have a travel policy related to private transportation, I am requesting that the ARC committee construct a clear policy to inform our choices around private flights, for example. I do know that several people on this board have been on private flights. I did not know that that was a clear conflict of interest. Okay, we need a bright light. We need a bright, shining line of a demarcating guideline so that we can all be held accountable to the same standard consistently. I call on, in conjunction with the Senior Vice President, the Chief Financial Officer and Treasurer, the revision of university travel guidelines applicable to the board, including clarifying parameters around private aircraft travel. Three, guidelines regarding congratulatory ads should also be agreed upon via our ARC committee. I also do know that several people on this board have engaged in ads. That's fine. If it's a problem, we need to identify the problem and come up with guidelines and then apply them consistently. In conjunction with the General Counsel and the Chief Audit, Risk, and Compliance Officer, a review and proposal of revisions to both the Board of Trustees Code of Ethics and Conduct of Board of Trustees Policy 103, Conflict of Interest Policy, as may be necessary to further the board's fiduciary responsibilities, I would like that review to be done. Thirdly, these issues on the board predate me. I'm committed to setting the next president up for success. I call for a 360 culture and climate survey. Thank you, Faculty Senate, for passing your resolution last week. Students, faculty, staff, administrators, donors, alum, and the board need to participate in this assessment. The Chronicle of Higher Ed asks why this keeps happening at MSU and goes on to delineate the many controversies we've experienced since Nassar. I ask the same questions. Protracted, compounded, persistent traumas have not been identified and healed. We need an outside firm to provide a diagnosis, prognosis, treatment plan, and progress monitoring so that we can not continue to have the same problems over and over and over and over again, year after year, board member after board member. People are hurting. I remain committed to change. Again, it is my hope that we can put divisions behind us and attend to the important work of the university. After Saturday's anti-Semitic debacle, the persistent racism black students have endured, rampant Islamophobia and xenophobia, questions around the administration's decision-making and unresolved issues related to OIE investigations, we want to know who knew what and when and what they did about it. We deserve those answers. Perhaps most importantly, the task of selecting a new president. There's much work to do. I support the ordinance that was proposed today around hate crime. I support the students who came today to speak on behalf of their own issues and for those who also came to speak on my behalf. I'm committed to you. I want to make sure that you all feel that you are safe and welcomed, that you feel included, and that you belong on this campus. You pay your tuition. You chose MSU. MSU needs to choose you. Students, faculty, and staff are counting on us, the board, to ensure a bright future for this university. I will not let them down. Go green.
Go white.
To other trustee comments, Vice Chair Kelly.
Okay, I wasn't going to make any comments today, but I'm going to have some very brief comments. Once again, we're talking about ourselves, the board. And what I've thought about over the last couple of weeks is supposedly why we're all here, which is public service. That's something I hold very important. And public service is usually time, effort, and money. But public service is also something known as public sacrifice. And sacrifice means that sometimes you're embarrassed, sometimes your reputation is challenged, sometimes friendships are challenged.
But if you're on this board to do what's in the best interest of the university, and that's your only goal, then reputation, embarrassment, friendships have to be put aside. I've heard a lot over the last couple of weeks of I. And it should be what's in the best interest of the university, nothing else. Now, with that in mind, I am chair of the Audit Risk and Compliance. We've received a letter from one of the trustees dated October 20th, 2023. It was referred to the Internal Office of Audit Risk and Compliance. Appropriately so, we've received a recommendation that it be investigated by a third party. The board unanimously reviewed that, and there is no objections to that recommendation. So we will move forward with a complete and fair independent investigation of the allegations, not only contained in that letter, but if there are any other allegations involving board members' violation of our code of ethics. So with that said, let me just finish with this. We need to follow the rules. Otherwise, it's chaos. So that's my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Kelly. Trustee Byram.
Thank you. I'm going to start with some good news, and then I will go to personal comments. This week, I was named as the new faculty liaison. It's a position that I'm looking forward to performing. I want to lift up some of the accomplishments of the faculty of recent. Say congratulations to the team of MSU researchers who, alongside colleagues at Purdue University, were awarded $2 million by the National Science Foundation for a biomanufacturing project. They are going to be helping to forge a greener future where homes and other buildings can be built with low-cost and sustainable materials. I'd also like to recognize the multidisciplinary research team that was awarded $3 million grant from the National Institute of Health. They're going to be contributing to a healthier future by studying the time of day you should exercise to improve your blood pressure. So I think all of us on the board might be interested in that study's results. And finally, I want to congratulate the MSU scholars from the Create for STEM Institute, who will use the $1.9 million grant to reimagine how energy is taught in high school physics classes. So I want to congratulate our outstanding faculty for those grants. Now on a more personal note, I want to start by thanking Karen Kelly Blake for your comments today. I have a great deal of respect for you. I enjoyed working with you last year when you were the Faculty Senate chairperson. Michigan State is a great university, and it deserves great leadership. This has been a very painful week, as I'm sure all of the comments today have given everyone a crystal clear view of that. And I take no joy in the allegations that have been leveled against Dr. Vassar. I publicly supported the letter sent by Trustee Scott, and I thanked her for her courage to speak out. I'm going to let Trustee Scott speak in greater detail during her time in public comment. The board got to this place of chaos, a common word this morning, because of a failure to be able to deal with its behavior openly and without fear of retaliation. This has not been a secret that among the MSU community, as evidenced by the repeated calls from Faculty Senate to get our house in order and to engage in board governance training. Chair Vassar outlined in her comments some of the activities that we need to get in order. And that is have a clear line on travel policy. It is to have clear guidelines on conflict of interest. And the governance principles that at the beginning of this year, before we started a presidential search, are yet to be adopted. And that really defines the governance role of the university and keeps us in our lane or in our role. I think all of us at the board table support those. They're in various stages of being worked on. They've been being worked on for months, including the tax policy that I know Lisa Frace has been very involved in and sits in the ARP committee and is almost finalized. So we have a presidential search underway, and MSU will not be able to achieve a successful presidency and stable leadership that this university so desperately need until and unless the board can correct its behavior. And I think that's the real finer point in all of this. Whether we pause the search, whether we go forward and have a president identified before Thanksgiving, we will not have a successful presidency if this board cannot get its collective act together. I believe to make these necessary corrections now before it escalates any further, we do need to fully investigate the allegations outlined in Trustee Scott's letter. That is being done, and Dan Kelly explained that in his comments, and I support that. Any findings must be taken seriously, and they must be acted upon with transparency. Earlier this morning, I brought forward for discussion when we just before the board meeting that we have a resolution to remove Dr. Vassar as board chair. That did not get 3 votes to put in front of us today. I also had a conversation with her that I think in the best interest of the university, you should step aside in this interim. That was my request, and that decision lies with Dr. Vassar. But at the end of the day, this is a great university, and it deserves great leadership. And I will do my part to make sure that that leadership is here for future generations. Thank you.
Trustee Deno.
Gavel. Decorum in the boardroom, please.
Trustee
Dennis. Excuse me. I'll be really short. I just want to say I want to mirror what Trustee Dan Kelly said, that basically, you know, I got on this board. I wanted to work with others. I wanted to build coalitions to make this university and to make our communities better. When I put that resolution today, you called it an ambush, and if that's how you feel, I'm sorry about that. I apologize to the rest of the trustees. My intent was never to ambush anybody. My intent was for what I think to do the right thing and try to move it forward. So I apologize to anyone who feels they were ambushed, and hopefully we can work together to get it done right. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Deno. Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. So I want to begin by thanking all of the speakers who came and showed up today for your time and your courage. As always, I am listening. I see you and I hear you and I'm listening. I appreciate your action of showing up and also your words, and the words matter. Among the prepared remarks that the administration offered me to share with all of you, I will echo the thanks and gratitude to Dean Green for serving as Dean of the Law College. As some of you may know, that was my original academic home for 10 years, and I appreciate the work that she has done to raise the law school's national profile in terms of its commitment to diversity in particular, and also the work that she's done in terms of enrollment of the students. It's critical to have a profession that reflects the diversity of the public it serves, and I appreciate the work that she's done. I appreciate that that's a commitment of the law school and this university, and I will say that I'm looking forward to reading her scholarship on Justice Thurgood Marshall. Having done my own research in his archives, I am eager to see what she will be writing as an example of the extraordinary scholarship that goes on every day here, and we, of course, heard more of that this morning as well in the presentation. As some of you, maybe many of you, certainly those of you from the media who are here know, I don't speak to the media about board business. I make that choice mindful of our MSU Board of Trustees Code of Ethics and Conduct, so I don't speak out about board business to the media. Although I respect the right of any individual trustee to make their own choice in that and to also speak out as an individual. But I will talk to all of you as our MSU community, and so that's what I'm going to do right now. And I want to address some of the things that have been in the media. I agree with Trustee Kelly. It is the last thing I want to do to sit up here and say I or talk about the board. But again, I feel like given things that have been in the media, something needs to be said, and this is the appropriate form to do it, to speak with the community. And so I want to
in response to both the letter from Trustee Scott and some of the media that followed, and then also the resolution from the Faculty Senate last night, say a few things. I want to first begin with that Chronicle of Higher Education article, actually, that came out on October 24th. And in it, Chair Vassar, you remarked that I feel aggrieved because my colleagues voted for you over me as chair earlier this year. I'd like to set the record straight on that. But first, assuming the quote's accurate, I'd like to ask you to stop attacking me. There's nothing here to fight over. I'm not the reason why Trustee Scott wrote her letter, and I'm not responsible for the allegations in it, the facts in it. This has nothing to do with the trustees' feelings. We're faced instead with questions of leadership, and we have to deal with them professionally. And regarding that Chronicle article, here's what is true. I don't feel the least bit aggrieved about not being chair. I was, if anything, relieved, not aggrieved. I don't aspire to be chair. I didn't run for chair 2 years ago. And I will decline again when, under our new process for rotating the chair, my turn comes. I was willing to assume that role only because my fellow trustees asked me to do so. Two of them changed their mind the morning of the vote. One texted me shortly before the vote. The other sprung the news when she cast her vote live, and I've respected their decisions. None of that should detract from what Trustee Scott has brought forward. And in that same Chronicle of Higher Education article, Chair Vassar described Trustee Scott's letter as an old-style political hit job. And one thing that I feel strongly about is that politics are not the issue here. I am an elected trustee, but I view my role as one of public trust. My obligation is entirely to the university's interest, not my own. Before my appointment to this board, I had never declared a political affiliation. I had never contemplated running for elected office until I was appointed. I'm an academic and I'm an attorney. I serve as a volunteer to promote higher education. And for those who see only politics, I'm of the view that even politics have to defer to higher ethical values, especially when the goal is to serve in the public interest and to serve our students in the public interest. And it would be strange.
Call for order in the boardroom, please.
It would be strange to accuse Trustee Scott as being politically motivated when she herself voted to elect Yuma Vassar as chair. I find it regrettable that circumstances compelled a trustee to decide that public exposure is the only viable way to address grave concerns about leadership on this board. We have tried to resolve these issues internally. Since January 23, board members have each undergone at least 15 hours of training and development with three different experts on board governance and communication. We've asked questions, we've raised concerns, and they've gone unaddressed. In full transparency to the MSU community, I want to share what I know about the items in Trustee Scott's letter. So on the negotiation of the Gupta settlement, during the February 9th, 2023 board session, the board was informed that Vassar had engaged in settlement negotiations with Gupta, including authorizing the board's law firm Quinn Emanuel to draft a joint statement, and at the time the board had not been yet named in the lawsuit. It's also true that the interim president, who was herself a defendant in that lawsuit, communicated to us that the chair's actions undermined the university's ability to reach a resolution at that time, and so what Trustee Scott has reported is accurate. On the release of the Quinn Emanuel report, during the February 10th public meeting, the full board voted to release that report, but didn't set a deadline for when it would happen. And after that vote, Gupta sued the board, and our attorneys, both from Quinn Emanuel and our own general counsel, advised the board to delay the release of the report. And Vassar did not follow that advice, but instead released the report. Again, what Trustee Scott said on that was accurate. On the Attorney General's communication regarding the NASA documents, I have no direct knowledge of the communications between Vassar and the Attorney General. I've read the state news article quoting the Attorney General explaining that Chair Vassar had asked her to send the recent letter reaffirming the demand for the documents. Because the documents came up today, I will just reiterate my position on that has not changed. I agree with Trustee Kelly in supporting the process that he negotiated with Rachel Den Hollander, and I always have, or something similar to that, and I will continue to do so. On the advertisement with Spartan Wealth Management, Ambassador, I've seen the advertisement in the Lansing State Journal. I don't have any knowledge about it. It speaks for itself. On the text messages with the former trustee, I've read the Deadspin article. I've seen the text messages in response to a media FOIA request. And again, that speaks for itself. On the leak of a claimant's name and the investigation that followed, I learned of the claimant's name in the matter involving the former football coach for the first time in the news reports on September 10th of 2023. On September 11th, the board learned that a particular member of the board was alleged to have leaked the claimant's name. I have fully cooperated with the Jones Day investigation. That includes sitting for an interview a couple of weeks ago. At the time of the interview, I agreed with the protocol requested by Jones Day for the search of my phone. On the February 13th after action review, on September 29th, the independent firm Security Risk Management Consultants briefed the board about its after action report. One of the conclusions found that some members of the board acted beyond their expertise and outside of their appropriate role. A trustee disputed the consultant's findings. Vassar suggested that the consultants meet with that trustee before publicizing the final report to address the concerns and take them potentially into consideration. The version of the report released to the public, it's accurately depicted as watered down from the original version, speaks for itself. On the private jet use, my only knowledge about Chair Vassar's use of private jets is that the chair of Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee stated during a recent board work session that she shouldn't have taken the trips. When a question was raised about whether the fair market value should be paid under board policies, she stated she would not do so. It is true we don't have clear policies on that. And then on the amendment to the chair selection process. So the recently adopted amendment that changes the chair selection process is a reform that the board has been considering since at least 2019. And Chair Vassar stated during the work session that when we discussed it, that she would publicly call those of us supporting that change as racist, and she followed through on that. And as Trustee Scott wrote in her letter, race played no role in that vote. I appreciate that Trustee Scott's letter has been referred to the Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee for a full investigation. I understand it's going to be conducted by an independent third party. I believe the board also needs to consider reforms to our policies and procedures related to ethics, conduct, conflicts of interest, and especially how we hold each other accountable. I will say for me personally, this has been extremely difficult and not a situation I would ever want to see a future trustee have to face. And I'm sure I'm echoing a sentiment that all of us feel on that. That's probably something we could all agree on. Everything that we've seen this year reinforces the urgency of that review. I'm proud to serve the university as a trustee. It's an amazing institution of higher learning. I have learned so much in this role about the university's positive impact on our students, our alumni, our state, our country, and the world through the work of our faculty, our students, and our administrators. All of us as trustees should be laser focused on advancing the university's interest. And my hope is that this moment of transparency, as painful as it has been, will allow us to do exactly that in the coming days and years.
Thank you,
Nothing is going to be right for you. Nothing.
Okay. We will continue the meeting. Trustee Pierce.
I wasn't elected to the board. I had the honor of being appointed in January by Governor Whitmer. I had no idea what I was going to face. And when I took my oath, I promised to pay attention and keep sacred the code of ethics and perform my fiduciary responsibilities. Since January, let me tell you what we have been dealing with besides the business of the university that the students have brought up and the faculty has brought up. We had a mass shooting on February 13th. I was then, along with the other trustees, sued by Sanjay Gupta. I was then, along with the other trustees, sued by the survivors. We had Mel Tucker. We are in the midst of a presidential search. And then last Saturday night, we saw for the world to see and talk about anti-Semitism on the Jumbotron. Following that was my colleagues on this board publicizing what should have been talked about as a family behind closed doors. And I'm embarrassed by it, and I'm disappointed. I'm going to quote Monty Williams, who is the new coach of the Detroit Pistons, who said in a group a few weeks ago, "Everything you want is on the other side of hard. Everything you want is on the other side of hard." And so I was asked the other day, why don't you just resign? You weren't elected. You have a big job. Why do you do it? It's so hard. I'm doing it because on the other side of hard is everything we want. We want a unified university that is educating our next generation of leaders. We want to support our students and our faculty and our staff and the administration and each other. And we've got to get there. And so I'm in it for the long run.
Thank you, Trustee Pierce. Trustee Scott.
Thank you. I'm going to read my prepared comments. Like others have said, there are so many inspiring accomplishments and events to lift up across our university. I'll just name a few, and as a lawyer, I would like to shine a spotlight on Dean Green's third annual Dean Speaker Series. This series will bring leading experts on regulation, global governance, and artificial intelligence for what I am sure will be a thought-provoking presentation. Thank you to Dean Green for bringing the Speaker Series to the campus and for your service. Last month, I had the privilege of participating in the Summit on Achieving Black Equity at MSU, where Dr. Lee June, who's here, along with Dr. James Weather, delivered insightful presentations, and Dr. June shared analytics on the current status of black students, faculty, and staff at our university, shedding light on our present position and leading discussions on the actionable steps needed to achieve black equity by 2030. During homecoming weekend, I had the honor of attending the Shirley M. Rogers Distinguished Alumni and Scholarship Awards Jazz Brunch hosted by the MSU Black Alumni. And I want to congratulate again award recipients. Clifton R. Wharton Jr. Award was Murray Edwards. Trailblazer Award was our own VP Marlon Lynch. The Community University Service Award was Tari Siegler. And our Rising Star Award was Tawana Hatcher. So congratulations to all of our award recipients. Finally, as a fan of our student athletes, I would like to echo the interim president and congratulate our women's soccer team, who has been very successful. And this past Sunday, they earned their second consecutive Big Ten title after compiling a team win record exceeding only by last year's. I also hear that the women's volleyball games are getting record attendance, which is also very exciting. I'd like to now move on to my own personal comments. And I would ask that those that have things to say, as when you were speaking, people gave you the respect
to allow you to speak without being interrupted. So I would ask that people allow me that. And if not, then maybe you should leave.
We think you should leave.
We will. Okay, well, please.
I'm going to say what I would like to say, and I would ask that people be respectful and allow me to speak. Thank you. So when I decided to run for the MSU Board of Trustees, it was for reasons that I wanted to affect change here at the university that I love so very dearly. I was an alum and also a parent of a current student at the time that I came on this board. I understood I was walking into turmoil, but I had no idea that that turmoil would continue consistently. I mean, we have not gotten a break since I started on this board. But I will say that there were some objectives that I took to heart, some things that I wanted to accomplish. And what I heard today was some revisionist history about my, and I don't want to say I, actually, so I'm not going to talk about my, but some of the changes that were made within my first 2 to 3 years here on this board. And some things that I had some very big, responsible insight into, I would say, along with other trustees, Joel Ferguson, who's no longer on this board, Melanie Foster, who I see sitting in the front row, Trustee Tebay, who actually went on a tour with me to actually implement some things that I felt were important for people of color on this campus. It's very hard for me to sit here and listen to people act as if there's not two black women that are sitting up here on this table. I am also black. And you can laugh all you want to, because maybe I have not met you and had conversations with you, or maybe you have felt that I have not done the things that you want me to do. But what I will say is what I've done speaks for itself. So let me talk about some of the things that I have done since I've been here. So, yes, I will. So I have had multiple meetings with various constituency groups of the people of color on this campus, not just black students, NPHC, the MSUBA, multiple meetings even with BSA.
Please.
I have had...
Please, sorry, Trustee Scott. Please refrain, otherwise, please refrain from kind of interrupting our megaphone, otherwise you will be asked to leave.
She's asking a question.
I don't believe that I asked a question.
No,
I'm going to just
Scott's
continue my...
Please continue.
When President Stanley got here, I, along with other individuals that worked on the DEI strategic plan and the strategic plan for this university, pushed for having someone here like Dr. Jabbar Bennett to work on the institutional racism and issues of discrimination that were present on this campus. I worked with Quorum, MSUBA, and others to make sure that President Stanley, during his tenure, set it up so that we could have direct communications between he and the provost office and MSUBA, something that was never achieved prior to me being on this board. I also, along with Trustee Tebay and Joel Ferguson, pushed for the first ever multicultural center, which has already broken ground on this campus. You can laugh, but that was something that strategically we worked on and pushed to make happen.
We don't even have a meeting room.
Okay.
So I think once more, and you'll be asked to leave. That's where we're at right now, okay?
Okay.
Appreciate it. I'm just trying to sort of keep us moving along. Trustee Scott.
I, along with people like Dr. Stephanie Anthony, who I thought I saw in here at one point in time, were instrumental in pushing for the first ever Juneteenth celebration that this campus ever had. I was part of that. I also have had multiple meetings because I was one of the other. Trustee Tebay would be probably the only other one that spent at least 2 times a month hours meeting with students, students of color, students that weren't of color, faculty and staff that had issues for years. We were the only two trustees sitting up here in the library in that stupid little boardroom that they gave us to meet with people, listening to concerns and making sure that we implemented the things that were of concern so that there would be change while we were here as trustees. I would also say that we have, as a board, talked with administration talked with Mark Largent, even just as recently as yesterday, bringing up issues concerning black faculty on this campus and the need to have more deans of color on this campus. I've had those conversations about the declining enrollment of African American students on this campus and trying to strategically think about things that we can do in order to create a better pipeline. I've done that. Now, I don't toot my horn all the time. I don't go out around telling people all the things that I do. But for someone to come in here and try to act as if I have not given my blood, sweat, and tears to this university in trying to make a difference, not just for our black students, but all of our students of color, because you all are all of our students. I have more than one constituency base to support on this campus and who I have to recognize and try to do what is best for the overall university, not just one group of people, not just one constituency group, not just one political party. I am here for what is in the best interest of Michigan State University. And the reason why nobody else wants to come forward and talk about everything in my letter is because what has happened to me over this last week, and my mom told me not to cry, but what has happened to me over this last week of threats of physical harm to me, bullying, being called anti-black, being called a house Negro, that I'm playing in plantation politics, that I'm not black, I'm a black person or a white person in a black body. You all have no idea. I know you told me not to cry. You have no idea the stuff that has been said about me this week. And all I wanted to do was stand up for people who don't have a voice because they're so afraid to do what I have done, and that is to take the darts that have been aimed at me for standing up for what is right. And had I not stood up, we would continue in this chaos, and I cannot watch it because I would not be here if it weren't for this university. I would not be here if it weren't for MSU. And I'm sorry I'm crying, Mom, because I know you're going to tell me off. I apologize. I'm sorry. I know you're disappointed. I'm not strong like my mother. I'm not strong like my mother. I'm sorry. She always tells me I'm so freaking emotional. And I'm sorry about that. But what I will say is I think it is horrible, horrible for people that don't have all the facts to try to act as if you do and to make a judgment. I put this letter out here so that what is going to happen would happen, and that is so we could have an investigation because, unfortunately, nobody felt that they could do anything because they didn't want to be called racist. And I will look at every single one of my colleagues, and I will say not a one person up here is a racist. It's wrong. It is wrong to weaponize our race. We've been through a lot, and it's right to deal with it when it should be dealt with. But none of this, none of it has been because of Rima's race. None of it. I'm black. I voted for her. Do you know how hard it is for me to have come out? Do you? Nobody understands what I feel inside. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the bullying. I feel sorry for our interim president because she's not even speaking out because she's afraid. People can't talk because they're afraid, and we say we want transparency. If you want transparency, then you let this investigation go through and you hold your comments until you see what the facts say, because I didn't put one damn lie in that letter. Not one. It has been fact-checked. But I also want to say the attacks on Joel Ferguson pissed me off. That man gave more to this university than any other black person. It is insulting to me that people would come in here and say that me having a building, that I am a 50% owner of a business with that man, has any conflict. But just to let you know you're wrong, I actually went to our general counsel and talked to my board about whether anybody thought it was a conflict before I ever did it. That's being forthcoming. That is being transparent. I didn't do anything about behind anybody's back. So fact check that. That business has absolutely no conflict whatsoever. And let's go back to Nasser, because I'm so darn tired of people saying that I voted against and I was the deciding vote. Please point to a record that ever says that myself, since Kelly TV and I got on this board, that we ever voted one time on Nasser. There has never been a vote since I have been on this board related to Larry Nasser. So stop it with this revisionist history that I in some way am the reason why that did not happen. There was never a vote since I've been on this board. That vote was made before I got on this board. I want to say Dan Kelly was 2018 when you guys voted on it. There's never been a vote, so stop blaming me. When we talk about scapegoats, I have been the freaking scapegoat for why this has not happened. It is not my fault. There are five people that would have to come up here and vote to make that happen. So if you want to blame people, you blame all of us. You don't blame just me. To be silent is complicit. When you see something wrong and you've tried behind closed doors to talk about it, when you get attacked when you talk about it, when you get threatened that you're going to regret it when you come forward, that's what makes people stay silent. If we want transparency at this university, people should be able to speak their freaking truth without threat. It's wrong. I wanted to say I feel so bad for Diane. For whatever reason, I heard, oh, she's on a puppet string, whatever. Okay, I heard that about Joel. Allegedly, Joel and I were sleeping together. People are so cruel. Just nonsense. I am a person, I have always had my own mind. Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody is going to coerce me into doing a darn thing. Renee just said with a straight face there was a board member who had told her that she would have the vote. And that was me. I changed my mind at the last minute because I thought I was doing what was best and I wanted Dr. Vassiter to make history. So you have to know that for me, again, this was difficult. Diane had nothing to do with me writing this letter. I will state on the record, when I actually told some of my colleagues that I was going to write this letter, they were shocked. And everybody was like, why? And a few of them said, are you sure? We're worried about you because you're going to get attacked. You shouldn't do it. But I'm a person of faith. I put on the full armor of God. And I prayed about it. And I'm doing what I believe is the best thing for this university. Has nothing personal. I got more to lose and I have lost more, including people that I had close relationships with who now are after me just because I came forward. So I'm gaining nothing and losing a lot to have done what I'm doing. But this woman right here is taking a hit and it's not fair. So if you want to blame somebody, blame me because I can take it. But don't blame people that have nothing to do with what I did. It's wrong. And politically aligned, I'm the most non-politically aligned person probably up here. Because I'm from West Michigan. I'm a nobody. Nobody even knew who I was. I don't know politics. I don't have relationships. The governor coming out, stabbing out. These are people who came out because they love MSU. So stop blaming other people because other people care and they want answers. And they want to get to the bottom of it so that this university grows. Stop having conspiracy theories saying that this is all so Teresa will remain president. It has nothing to do with this. I thank Dennis for his leadership. I'm so happy about what we've done on the presidential search.
Nobody's trying to work this out for Teresa. It's unfortunate. She is collateral damage. I've said that so many times. There's no conspiracy here. We want what's best for the university. I support the no hate crime ordinance. Whoever said that, I can't even remember anymore. But I thought it was genius. Thank you, because I think that that is something that we should do. And I would love to work with you all on that. I write ordinances and stuff all the time. I'd be happy to help. Melissa Hudges, I forgot, on our speaker list.
Hudes
made a statement. I wrote it down. She said, if you cannot do your job because of fear, then you shouldn't be doing it. Or something to that extent, she said. I'm sorry. But I agree with that 100%. People elect us, and man, this is hard. I've never wanted to be a politician in my life. I probably would never do anything like this again. But we're here to make these hard decisions, despite what it may cost us individually and personally. I apologize to Dr. Woodruff. I apologize to my board members who, like Sandy, probably are really pissed at me. I may have lost some friendships here because I did this. I'm sorry. I apologize to you all. I don't know what to say, but that I felt cornered and that the only way we could get through this is to have an investigation so this shit could stop. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry, Josh. My son's here and I'm swearing and sorry. And I know I look ugly when I cry and my eyelashes will probably come off. But I want to just say my record on DEI is so freaking strong. So it's so insulting to me that people say that I don't care about diversity, equity, inclusion, or issues of race or discrimination, because that's been, like, my life's work. In my community, I have done so much to change race relations. You all don't know me clearly to think anything like that about me. And I'm sorry to Brenda Tracy. Because, yes, I was angry when I saw the text between Pat O'Keefe and Rima. I think that's probably what took me over the edge. Because it's wrong to ever victim bash. And I thought it was wrong to condone or even love a comment that he made talking about you, because I know it takes bravery to come forward. Nobody deserves that. To the survivor community, I know you all don't speak with one voice. I think all of us here want to do the right thing. I think we're closer than ever to doing that. But you have to understand, sometimes you don't all know all the stuff that we know here. So when decisions aren't made, you sometimes don't have the background to understand, because we can't share everything that we know as trustees. You need to trust that we want to do the right thing. People's hearts are in the right place. Sandy, oh, my eyelashes coming up. She's looking at me. I think that's it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Scott. Trustee Tebay.
I'm all up, Brown. I have the last word.
Thank you very much, Interim President Woodruff. That concludes trustee comment.
Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second? All in favor? The meeting is adjourned.